Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful blessing of your word to us today. And as we come back now, we just ask, Lord, our hearts would be attentive, our minds alert as we look at your word once again. Lord, may you just bless us in a mighty way. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you'd like to open to Galatians chapter 3, we've been studying and going through this wonderful book. Galatians chapter 3. And we're looking at salvation by faith, not works. Now, in chapters 3 and 4, we've looked at 1 and 2. We now come to the doctrinal part of Paul's addresses to the churches in Galatia. And the first five verses there, he points out to them how foolish it would be to turn from the gospel of grace, which had been abundantly confirmed in their Christian experience, and turn to works. So let's read that passage. Let's read it together, chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. So let's read it together. Thus saith the Lord, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doth he do works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of the faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. The first point this afternoon is receiving the Spirit comes by faith, not by works, but by faith. I'll just read verses 1 to 3 again. It says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Paul's labelled these believers as foolish. And the word foolish there, anateos, is the Greek word there, it's in the negative sense. In other words, he's saying, you're unintelligent. That's what he's told these people. It's unwise. Especially in understanding. And he's saying, listen, you guys aren't being very smart when it comes to understanding what has been done for you in Jesus Christ. That's why he wrote, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? In other words, what evil, what wickedness has fooled you so that you are swapping the priceless grace of the gospel for a worthless gospel of works? See, the problem with works is it appeals to people. See, that's something I can do in my flesh, something I can do in my strength. That will never save anybody. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We've got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the work we do, and it's not really a work, that saves us. And we see today in Christianity, and I understand why people are so fooled when they go onto that YouTube business and carry on and looking at everything that's being taught on there as far as Christianity is concerned. It's begging to hop on any ride that's going to lead them into something new or something up to date, some line of thinking, and they're prepared to swap the gospel of God's plain truth for it. A lot become victims because they're gullible. And any substitute that tries to lure you away from the simple faith in an all-sufficient Saviour Anything that subjects you to works is not good enough. It's not right. It's not the gospel. And we've got to be careful, because self-righteousness is spiritually fatal. And if any turn their backs on Christ as the one and only mediator between man and God, then they lose it all. They lose it all. And it says there, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. See, these Galatian believers, they're being reminded about the message of the cross. A message that was preached, a message that was proclaimed, one was that was evident in their midst. And if they're going to reject that truth, well, Paul says, well, hang on a minute, you watch out. You watch out. Now, the tense of that phrase brings out the thought that, yes, Jesus has been crucified, but he is now glorified. Now, the only way Christ became our living Lord was he had to die on the cross. That's the only way. There was no other way. And all the praise in the world can be heaped upon him, and it should be, but he is greatly dishonored if he's not acknowledged as the Son of God who died for the sins of this world and for sinners. It's a great dishonor to him. See, the Christ that we glorify today was the Christ who was crucified some 2,000 years ago for the sins of the world. And to reject that is to dishonor him. In John 3:14, we read, Moses, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever, that's anybody at all, believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Listen, if you're waiting for a big rock to fall on your head before you make a decision, you're going to wait a long time. Amen? Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day you make the choice. See, this led Paul to ask these people a question, and that's a question he already knew the answer to in Galatians 3:2. This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? See, the question being asked is, what way had you guys become born again children of God? You know, they knew the experience they had. How did it happen? Did it come through all they could do in a self-sufficient effort and works, or the works of the law? Or by hearing and believing the message of the gospel of God's grace? Which means you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you receive this Holy Spirit who comes in and saves you until the day you go to glory. And Paul asks another question in verse 3. He says, are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? You know, this is a verse that changed my life. You know, when we get saved, at times we try to prove to ourselves how saved we are. And if we don't seem to be doing things, we feel like we're not worthy enough. Do we do things? Of course we do. But as long as we're moved by the Spirit to do them, is a big difference in me trying to do them to prove to myself I'm a born-again Christian. You see, a believer is justified by faith. They are not saved by turning over a new leaf. That doesn't save anybody. They're not saved by doing the best that we can. You're not saved by joining a church or being baptized or doing good works. You know, those things we should be doing. There's nothing wrong with doing those things. But we should be doing because we're already saved, not to be saved. Now, Romans 8:9 tells us, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, the question Paul's asking these Galatians is, did you receive the experience you enjoyed by working or by hearing? See, these legalizers have come in and tried to ruin these people's walk with the Lord. Is it by doing or by receiving? What saved you? Were you saved through all the rituals, or were you saved through faith? Can you do any works at all? Do what the Holy Spirit alone can do for your souls? No, we can't. Only He can regenerate us. Only He can make us right with God. And Paul's question, when you read it there, the answer seems to be, you Galatians should know the answer. You know it. What foolishness it must be, having been saved by faith, then seek to try and sanctify that by doing all the good works. You know, it's a bit like a captain sailing his boat out on the ocean and then deciding to try and bring it on shore and sail it across dry land. Verse 4, he says, have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? And we need today to get a real hold and understanding on the intensity and the force behind the challenge Paul has given to these people here. You know, just like many other believers in the first century era, the Galatians Christians would have for sure had been called to suffer and endure great persecution for their faith in Christ. Now, I'm sure we've all suffered in some way, but we'll never suffer the way these people would have suffered. We think we suffer if we can't find some socks we've gone missing. We think we suffer if we get a bit of a headache or something like that. But no, we haven't suffered the way many Christians suffer, especially in this country. Go to Pakistan, go to India, go to some of those places and see what's happening to the Christians over there. But if this salvation had come to them because of their works that were conforming them to Judaism and the law, then not by faith apart from works, well, what's the point of suffering? You're suffering for no reason. There are multitudes of believers today, they're saved by faith, they're believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, they put their faith in His finished work, and they're striving every day to make themselves perfect in the flesh by practicing all these religious traditions and works and the rules of men and regulations. And many churches and denominations set these things down, and they think if they miss out on them, they've lost their salvation or they've never been made right in the first place. The only way you're going to be right with the Lord is by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone tells you anything else, or any church tries to teach you anything else, then faith comes by grace. You're saved by grace through faith, not of yourself, that's a gift of God, not of works, then you need to steer clear. Because they'll destroy your work, your walk with the Lord. You know, God gave up the flesh in the garden. God provided redemption for the spirit, but to Adam God said, dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return. Now Isaiah, he exclaimed, but we, in Isaiah 64:6, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses as were as a filthy rag, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. You see, it doesn't matter what we do, how much we serve, how clean a life we live, how perfect we may become in our own sight, every good thing we do all adds up to a pile of filthy rags in God's sight. But by simple faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, we can at that very moment become as pure as the blood of the Lamb. What a wonderful gift that is. And if you're waiting, looking, trying to experience something for that to believe, then that's not faith. Faith is simply placing your trust and hope in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've used this before, but I'll use it again. I watched as you all sat down today, and not one of yous checked that chair you're sitting on. Not one of yous. How do you know I didn't unscrew the legs off that chair? I was going to do it to Linnell's chair, but Deborah stopped me. No, I'm just kidding. But you did it. What did you sit in it for? Come on, it's the afternoon. Tell me, what did you sit in that chair for? Because it's a chair. You didn't have to question it. You didn't have to ask it. You didn't have to do anything to prove it. You sat down in it. That's faith. You knew in your heart, you believed it was a chair. And what's a chair for? To sit down on. You didn't sit down going, I wonder if this is going to break. You just sat in it because it's a chair. And we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ because the Bible said He's the only Savior. And when we believe that, we're saved. End of story. Now, are you worn out doing all you can do? Then step aside and allow Him to work in and through you, and you will be energized by the Spirit. You will be led by the Spirit. You'll be filled by the Spirit to do only what He wants to accomplish through you. It's a big difference between me trying to accomplish something in my own strength for Him. You know, our country needs men today, as I said this morning, prepared to preach the truth. Men who are willing to hand themselves over to the Lord long enough to acquire the kind of faith that Christ had as He ministered on this earth. When the disciples could not cast out the demon out of the young boy, the boy's father said to Jesus how they could not cure him in Matthew chapter 17. And the disciples, well, they marveled and they asked why they couldn't do the miracle that Jesus did. And He answered them, and listen carefully, He said, this kind go out by not, why? Prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Now, we got a church picnic coming up, and praise God, we only have one a year. And I say that because many churches have more picnics than they do prayer meetings. They do. They have more feasts than they have fasts. And wonder while they're spiritually starved and impotent. And people are not willing to suffer for the faith anymore these days. And a black cloud comes over and says, well, I'm not going to church today. My car might get dirty and, you know, that'll be the end of my week. I'll have to clean it. Why would we sell cheap what cost us so much in the reproaches for Christ? And God may well be using at this time the present suffering in our lives to fit us to have a stronger conviction in the future. And the more we suffer for our faith, then the more precious that faith becomes to us. And that means we will be less likely under future pressure from any legalistic quarters whatsoever to exchange our faith in Christ for any forms of works righteousness. Verse 5, He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? I looked at that, He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit. I don't know, we're not told of anyone in any name who was doing all this, but what we're told is that the Spirit was working. The issue is not who he is. The issue is the Spirit is the one who does the works. He works miracles. He's the one who has the power to do the impossible. The greatest miracle in the world today is that the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit, comes within and lives within a believer permanently the moment they believe. What's holding you back? Nothing you can do except receive him. Doesn't turn you into some fanatic, make you go crazy. Just makes you born again. Now, I know plenty of crazy, fanatical Christians, amen? But that doesn't happen to us when we get saved. We just believe in him and we grow in Christ. See, it's no man's ability, it's no law works. Everything comes by faith. And that proves that justification is by faith and not any work that we can do. Now, an important fact in this here is that Abraham was saved the exact same way that we are saved. Verse 6, even as Abraham, what did he do? Tell me.
Believed
God. And it's interesting here, he did not believe on God. He did not believe in God. He just believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now in Genesis 12:1, we read, the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. The Lord said unto Abram, get thee out, and Abram went. He didn't fill out a questionnaire and give it to the Lord and ask all the reasons why. He went. Now the Jewish people held Abraham, and they still do today, in the highest honor. And they knew, listen carefully, he lived way, way, way before the law of Moses. A long time before. And that's important for a couple of reasons. One, whatever God told to Abraham is the truth. Two, and a lot of Christians don't like this, Abraham tithed, so what excuse do we have not to? Amen?
Amen.
Well, then that quiet? Hey? Don't go saying it's the law. Now, if it was the law, I know there's tithing in the law. If it was the law, I want to ask you the question today, and I want everyone to answer me. Is grace greater than the law, yes or no? Yes. Well, how come you only give a tithe? How come only? That's another message. That might be the week after next, but anyway. They held him in great honor. And Paul is pointing out to the fact that Abraham was justified before Almighty God in the same way we are, by faith. That's it. God spoke, Abraham heard, he believed, and God said, Abraham, I'm accounting that to you as righteousness. Abraham did not see God. The Lord just said, get thee out. He heard and believed. If you're sitting under the teaching of this church, then you have heard what God has to say. Your decision is you must believe or you reject. That's one or the other. There's no difference. There's a difference between the two. Eternity, where you spend eternity, depends on the way you answer that question. But the Lord said he was going to make of him a great nation. He will bless and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Listen, we see there four I wills from God, four of them. And what a blessed day it will be when we stop still and recognize the truth that every spiritual blessing comes only through God, and we can only receive God's blessings by faith. And the only one who can receive it by faith is the one who has believed God for salvation. God always honors faith. Always honors faith. But we have to be careful. Faith is the condition, not the grounds of acceptance with God. We don't have to prove, we just have to believe. Right, verses 7 to 9. We getting there? We understanding? Say amen.
Amen.
There we go. You've made my day. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, how did he do that? Sent his son to die on the cross, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Preached, and this is a beautiful, this piece of, I love this piece of scripture. Preached before, what did he do? He preached the gospel to Abraham. Isn't that beautiful? He didn't preach law. He didn't preach works. God himself preached the gospel to Abraham. Amazing. In thee shall all nations be blessed, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. That's something, isn't it? The gospel was preached by God to Abraham. Now, God had promised Abraham that all the families of the earth would be blessed in him. Abraham and Sarah were so old that God asked Abraham to believe the promise, even though the two of them were dead, so to speak, about reproducing a child. But God said, through you, there will be a child. And Abraham believed that God could supernaturally give them a son, and that's exactly what he did. Now, Romans 4:18 tells us, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he, that's God, had promised, he, that's God, was able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Look at that. Fully persuaded. What God has promised, he will perform. God has promised everybody eternal life if they believe in his son. That's that simple. And what was true in Abraham's day is also true in our day. And that is salvation, justification, redemption. Any blessing that we receive from God must of necessity become ours by believing God, or in other words, by faith. And when we believe God, that says we have faith in God. Do you believe that God sent his only begotten Son into this world to save this world, whosoever? Oh, no one's ever going to save me. I'm too stuck in my own ways. I just want to do this and do this. Well, listen, when you have an encounter with God, when you're prepared to believe that God's been pulling at your heart, then you need to make a decision. And when you believe on him, you will have the greatest experience of your life. Not a feeling, not an emotion, but you will know without a doubt that what God says is true, and that all you've had to do all this time, you've been trying to find reasons why you should or should not be saved. All this time, you just had to believe in him. And it all becomes real. All becomes real. You know, God has spoken to you. He's spoken to me. We have his written word, verbally inspired word of God. through that word, God tells us that he so loved us, he gave Jesus to die for us. That's John 3:16. And we are told in verse 17 that Jesus did not come into the world to condemn us. But if we don't believe, verse 18 tells us that he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's the only reason anyone's condemned. You see, God tells us we're saved by grace through faith and not of ourselves. He also tells us it's not about works, so we have nothing to boast about. But he says to us in Acts 16:31, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. You see, it doesn't matter how much we do or what we do, we need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when we're saved, God commands us to confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thy heart God has raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. Why don't you want to believe? Scared of what will happen? Scared of what you got to do? Scared of what you got to give? God doesn't say you have to do any of that. He says just believe in your heart that I sent my son into this world, that he's been raised from the dead, and you'll be saved. God also tells us that saving faith in Romans 10:17 comes from hearing, but it only comes by hearing the word of God. I wonder, you know, if I could do one thing today, you know, I'd like to ask, God said to me, Dennis, you can do one thing, what would you like to do? I would like to bring every person up who failed to hop in that ark. That's what I'd like to do. Every one of them. They haven't died. They haven't gone off and not existed. They're still in hell today. I'd like to bring them all up so they could just say a word to somebody. Hey, listen, God's word is true. So if we will read the word of God, hear the word of God, and believe the word of God, we are accepted in Christ. 1 John 5:9 tells us, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he has not believed the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Is it any clearer? Could it be any straighter to the point? Any person who will believe God concerning Jesus Christ has the witness of God in their heart. But any person who hears the gospel, hears about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and refuses to believe it, Scripture says they're making God out to be a liar. You see, to hear the gospel and to refuse to believe it labels God a liar. There's no excuses given here. You can't water it down. What God says, God says. There's no ifs or buts. It's just clearly laid out in the word of God. And that's the simplicity of the gospel. Believe and be saved. Refuse to believe, you reject. Listen, there's no plan B. No matter what some churches tell you, they'll pray you out of the grave. No, there's no plan B. God has provided no other way, because no other way could be provided. It was an absolute necessity that Christ die, and if he had not died, then all men would burn in hell for eternity. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. See, he is our salvation. There is no other way. Verse 9 of our text, Galatians 3:9, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now, Romans 4:23, we goes, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offences and was raised again for our justification. You know, what a wonderful thing all the work's been done. He did it for us. There's no work we can do to be saved. To teach or preach that is just absolutely foreign to the Word of God. Now, God has spoken today. The question is, what do you believe? That's the question. Are you going to believe the truth that God has said that Jesus is our salvation? Praise God if you have. If you've never done it, you need to not leave here today till you sort it out. Because Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Who's that do we confess? The Lord Jesus Christ. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Will you not come and believe today? Will you not come and give Christ your heart? Just simply believe on him and accept the greatest gift that money cannot buy it. No work can produce it. Simply believe on him today. Won't you come to him today? Settle it once and for all. The day is coming. It will be too late. Today is the day of salvation. Won't you come today? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful truth of your word. That we are not saved by any work we can do at all, but by the finished work of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants whoever is lost today to be saved today by simply believing and placing their faith in the work he has done. Lord, what a blessed day it was in my life when the stubbornness, when the rejection just fell away through the faithful witness and hearing of your word by others to me, especially the work of my wife. Lord, we are grateful for eternity, for your salvation. We pray any here today would not leave until they are assured of their place in glory. Simple belief in the finished work of Christ will do it. We pray for that to happen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.